At this time, the kids are dismissed for their activities downstairs. What did the survey say? That's a question that's asked over and over again if you've ever watched the game show Family Feud. And if we were going to do a little version of Family Feud today here, I would do two rounds, and I would ask these two questions, and I suspect that as I ask them that they would have at least one answer in common. So here we go. The first one would be, what is the most important activity in the Christian life? And I suspect that prayer would be one of the answers to that question. Now, if we wanted to do the second round and we were asked the question, what is the activity in the Christian life that people struggle with the most? Ding! Or maybe, I don't know. I suspect that the answer, or one of the answers, would be prayer. Whether it's making time for prayer, whether it's feeling guilty because you feel like you don't pray enough, if it's knowing what to say when you pray, if it's, you know, wondering if prayer makes any difference at all, if it's feeling that maybe God isn't actually listening or doesn't hear you when you pray. I suspect that many of us here in the sanctuary and many of us listening online would say, yes, absolutely, prayer is so important. And yes, absolutely, I struggle so much with prayer in one form or another. And we can, you know, go to theologians, we can go to pastors, we can go to scholars. And they would agree. Just for one example, J.I. Packer, who was a theologian, said this. He said, I believe that prayer is the measure of the man spiritually in a way that nothing else is, so that how we pray is as important a question as we can ever face. But it's not just old theologians that think that, or old pastors. I mean, if you consult surveys, many Americans think prayer is important. Surveys have suggested that anywhere from 70 to 90% of Americans believe in the power and the value of prayer and maybe even pray themselves regularly, maybe even pray daily. One study found that prayer is actually the most popular form of what was termed alternative medicine. You know, more popular than things like acupuncture or chiropractics or taking vitamins even. Prayer is important. Many of us believe in the importance and value of prayer. And yet many of us also struggle with prayer. Similar surveys found that about 3% of people said they were happy with their prayer lives. But, you know, I don't even have to go to a survey to find that. I mean, if I were to do Family Feud style just for myself, speaking for myself, and if I were to give you a list of the things that I struggle with most in the Christian life, probably near the top, you know, certainly in the top three would be prayer. So what I want you to hear as we get into this subject today is that though I'm preaching on prayer, I am not preaching as the expert on prayer. I am preaching as a fellow struggler with you in prayer who believes both that prayer is essential and that prayer is hard. And so it's for these reasons that we are getting into this series that's going to take us through the month of January on this subject of prayer. Now, I could have, you know, called the series prayer. But if you've been around at all, you know that I try to come up with snappier titles than that. So the title that I've given this one is Make the Ask. Now, if that's not a phrase that you're familiar with, make the ask, it's kind of a common phrase in business or fundraising circles. So if you want to make a sale or if you want to raise money, what do you have to do? You have to make the ask. The idea is you actually have to ask people. You have to ask people to do it. You have to ask people to give it. You have to make the ask. But of course, we don't like to ask people those kinds of questions. At least most of us don't. Now, some of us are maybe wired in such a way that we don't mind asking people for things. But for most of us, we would rather not ask. You know, asking someone to do something for us is not something that we do easily. Asking people to give something is not something we do easily. And yet, hear me on this, if we never make the ask, then it will be hard for us to grow in prayer. Because prayer, a huge part of the essence of what prayer is it is in the ask. It's making the ask. And so we want to get into that this morning and in this series. We're kind of going to go back to the basics as we look at prayer over these next few weeks. And so if you see yourself as a good prayer, I suspect that probably even good prayers don't see themselves as good prayers. But if you happen to see yourself as a good prayer, then this series may not seem terribly profound to you. And yet in my experience, it's often good for us to kind of shore up and remind ourselves of things that we already know and believe and to, you know, brush up on the basics. So that's what this series will be. We'll look at some key questions around the subject of prayer. So does God actually give you what you ask for if you're making the ask? How do you know if he's going to answer your prayers? What do you say when you pray? Those are some things that we want to think about in these coming weeks. Let me take you this morning to John chapter 15. That's going to be our main text, and I'd encourage you to find your way there, to join me there in the Bible, either online, in an app, or if you have a book that you're opening up. The question this morning is, why pray? Why should we pray? Why is prayer important? Why does it matter? And I want to take you to the words of Jesus this morning. John chapter 15. And I'm going to begin to read in verse 5. Follow along with me if you would. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. So we have here in these words of Jesus, a metaphor, a word picture. And of course, the picture, pretty popular one, pretty well-known one that Jesus uses, if you know anything about the teachings of Jesus. He talks about the vine and the branches. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Now, what is he trying to say? Well, a bit of an illustration for you here. So here's a picture for you. This is the great vine, so-called anyway, the great vine. It is the oldest and largest vine known to humanity, anywhere in the world, I believe. So this vine is found in the Hampton Court Palace Gardens near London, England. This vine is about 250 years old, as best we can tell. The trunk of the vine is about 13 feet thick. The longest branch of the vine extends for about 120 feet, and it would go even longer if it was allowed to. When the crop from this vine is harvested every September, it averages about 600 pounds of grapes. Even branches that are more than 100 feet from the trunk contribute grapes because of their connection to the trunk, their connection to the vine. Jesus' point here in John 15 is that his followers need to maintain a connection. They need to remain connected to him like branches to a vine, so that, like those long extended branches of the great vine in London, they can produce fruit. And if we are going to remain connected to the vine, if we want to remain connected to Jesus, then prayer is going to be an essential practice for us and something important for us to talk about and think about. So again, the grid that I'm thinking through this morning, as we look at these words of Jesus, as we think about this picture of the vine, the question that I'm asking is, why do we pray? Why is prayer important? And I'm going to offer you four answers. And I'll confess to you that two of the answers are probably going to seem fairly simplistic to you, and yet they're important. And here's the first one that I think is probably a very simplistic answer to the question of why pray. It's to pray because you can't help it. Pray because you can't help it. You know, we are wired to pray. There's something in us. There's kind of this built-in thing in us that wants to pray. We're created to seek to communicate with the divine. And that is not just a Christian thing. That's a thing. That's a human thing. You know, if you look at the major world religions, you can look at Islam, you can look at Judaism, you can look at Hinduism, you can look at Buddhism, certainly Christianity. There are forms of prayer in all of them. Interestingly, even non-religious people, in many cases, pray. About 30% of atheists, in one survey, prayed often, maybe even regularly. Pastor Tim Keller says this. He says, efforts to find cultures, even very remote and isolated ones, without some form of religion and prayer have failed. There has always been some form of attempt to communicate between human and divine realms. There seems to be a human instinct for prayer. Swiss theologian Karl Barth calls it our incurable God sickness. We pray because we can't help it. We just pray. You know, think with me a little bit. You know, every Thanksgiving, national holiday comes around, time when we are to count our blessings, to be thankful. At Thanksgiving time, who are we thankful to? I mean, yes, it's good for us to express our thanks to each other, parents, to spouses, to children, to friends. It's good for us to express thanks, you know, our gratitude to someone else for something that they've done for us. And yet, if we take Thanksgiving seriously, it's more than just, I say thank you to my wife for the good dinner she makes. I mean, you know, we want to think more profoundly and deeply than that about Thanksgiving. Who do we thank? Well, you know, we don't thank in a vacuum. We don't just thank for many of us, we don't just thank the forces of the universe. I mean, we thank God. We pray to him to express our thanksgiving. When life is hard, when circumstances are overwhelming, when we are fearful, when we feel helpless, when we feel inadequate, what do? We pray. And again, we don't even necessarily intend to pray some of the time. We just do. So the word that we have prayer, our word prayer, actually comes from a Latin root word, precarious. And we have our own form in English of precarious. You know that word, precarious? Precarious, it's describing something that's kind of on the brink of falling over. You know, that looks a little precarious. I mean, it's uncertain. It looks dangerous. That's our lives. You know, we live on the edge. Even those of us that aren't necessarily big risk takers. I mean, we live on the edge. You never know what's around the next corner. You never know what's coming in your life. We are vulnerable, all of us, to forces beyond our control. Thomas Merton, a theologian, wrote these words: prayer is an expression of who we are. We are a living incompleteness. We are a gap, an emptiness that calls for fulfillment. We pray because we can't help it. I think Christ would, Jesus would go along with that idea. You know, that we pray because we can't help it, because we need to pray. He says here in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. He recognizes our precarious state as people. We pray because we need to, because we can't help it. But it's not just about our weaknesses. It's not just about our circumstances that lead us to pray. Part of it, the reason we pray is because of the point of prayer. And what is the point of prayer? Well, here's one, and that is the reality that there is no life with God without prayer. There's no life with him. There's no relationship with him without prayer. Now, this John 15 passage is all about life with God. It talks about this relationship that we are created to have with him in a couple different ways. One of the ways that it talks about relationship with him is this word remain. Did you see how many times, I didn't actually count them up this week, but how many times does that word remain appear in just those verses that I read? You remain in me and I in you. Remain in my love, Jesus said. So I looked up that word. What does remain mean? If you go back to the ancient Greek that the New Testament was written in, what is it actually saying? If you're in an old King James Version Bible fan, then the word is abideth. Abideth in me. The original Greek can talk about staying in a place, or it can talk about a time. So to remain is to stay somewhere, to stay physically somewhere, or it can be a time measurement. It can, to remain can mean to be present in these certain conditions or circumstances without changing. It's to wait in that spot. It can be active or passive. So you can choose to stay, to remain, to wait in that place, in that situation. But it can also be passive in the sense of being held or being kept in that place, in that situation. What is it talking about here? When Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, remain in me and I in you. He's talking about staying in union with him, about staying in relationship with him, remaining in that place of connectedness with him, nurturing that vital, life-giving relationship, coming out of the vine into the branches, allow the nutrients, the strength, and the health to flow from him to us. Allow his divine influence and energy to act within us. It's all kind of captured in this idea of remaining. It's a relationship. We also see kind of the dual nature of what he's talking about here. You remain in me, and I in you. My words remain in you. You remain in my love. My joy may be complete. My joy may be in you. Your joy may be complete. There's this kind of back and forth. It's relationship. And if Jesus calls us to be in this kind of relationship, to remain, to stay connected in this kind of relationship, then prayer is how we have that conversation. Prayer is how we build and strengthen, one of the main ways we build and strengthen that relationship. If you think about the relational aspect of prayer, then the question, why pray, is really kind of a silly one. I mean, you know, if I were to ask you the question, husbands, if I were to ask you the question, why should you talk with your wife? Or flip it around, wives, why should you talk to your husband? Why should parents and children talk to each other? I mean, what kind of question is that? We just take it for granted that communication should happen. You know, why do we pray? Well, why do we talk to anyone? Because we care for them, we love them, because we want to get to know them, because we want to do life together with them. That's why we pray. Just like we talk to the people in our lives. Writer Tim Stafford said this, "We do not pray to tell God what he does not know, nor to remind him of things he has forgotten. He already cares for the things we pray about. He has simply been waiting for us to care about them with him. We speak to him as we speak to our most intimate friends, so that we can commune together in love." And Jesus is our model in that kind of relationship. Verse 10 says, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I," Jesus says, "have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." So here's another reason why we pray. And this one's a little bit, you know, like when kids say to parents, "Why?" And then the parents say that those dreaded words, "Because I said so." Pray because Jesus did. Now, if you want like the most foundational Christian reason to pray, here it is: because Jesus did. In fact, the scriptures tell us that Jesus spent significant time praying. He went off by himself. At times, you know, as the crowds are looking for him, he went off and he prayed. Sometimes he even spent whole nights praying. He healed people by praying. He once said that some demons can only be expelled through prayer. The Holy Spirit came over him at his baptism while he was praying. On another occasion, while he was up on a mountain praying, he suddenly started to glow with the radiance of eternal glory while he was praying. He taught his disciples to pray. When he faced his greatest crisis, he prayed. And in fact, he prayed so intensely that the scriptures tell us that the sweat was pouring off him like drops of blood. And as he died on the cross, he prayed. And he's still praying. Romans 8:34 says, "Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding," fancy word for praying, "for us." So if Jesus Christ, who was both fully man and even fully God, if prayer was a primary means of him maintaining relationship with his heavenly Father, then certainly we would want to follow his example. We would want to pray because Jesus prayed. Now, there's another aspect to prayer that is a reason why we pray. And so far, what I've talked about is kind of what you might think of as the communing side of prayer, the relationship side of prayer. You know, we pray because we want to be connected to God. But there's another side of prayer that we have to think about, and that's what you might call the petitioning side of prayer or the asking side of the side of prayer. So, you know, the make the ask theme of our series, there's that side of prayer. Huge part of prayer is asking. You know, some prayer is, I love you, God. And some prayer is, do something, God. And we need both. Some people feel like we shouldn't ask God for all these things. And yet, you know, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, which Daylene led us in this morning, it's interesting just to think about how much of the Lord's Prayer is asking versus the I love you, God kind of prayer. You know, give us this day our daily bread. That's an asking thing. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. These are all asking things. So apparently, a big part of prayer is asking. And so we pray because prayer makes things happen. Now, if you like, if we want to get really technical, it's not prayer just in and of itself that makes things happen. It's God who makes things happen. But he makes things happen in response to prayer. In this remaining, abiding, relating life we desire to have with God, things happen. And God makes those things happen. But what I want to think about for a few minutes here is just the reality that, yes, when we pray, God is working and God is doing things. God makes things happen. But there's also a part for us to make things happen. Some of the things are God's things to do, and some of the things are our things to do. And that fits very well with Christian philosopher Dallas Willard's definition of prayer. He says prayer is talking with God about things that we're doing together. I love that picture. It's not just what God's doing that we pray about, but it's what we're doing, what he and we are doing together. You know, God, according to verse 7, wants to answer prayers. He wants us to make the ask so that he can give us what we're asking for. Now, if I were Jesus, I'm not. I confess, in case you were wondering, I'm not. I would never even, you know, claim remotely that I'm close to Jesus, being as much like Jesus as I'd like to be. But if I were Jesus, I would not have said this. Ask whatever you want, whatever you wish, and my Father will give it to you. Jesus, now, let's think about that a little bit. I mean, did you just get carried away by the moment? Why would you say something like that? I mean, that is the perfect phrase to, you know, for well-meaning but clueless people in the world to rip violently out of context and, you know, make all kinds of ridiculous wishes and requests, thinking that God is going to give them what they've asked for because, you know, it says in John 15. Jesus, what were you thinking? Well, he must have been thinking something and something very good because he said it. And as uncomfortable as it makes me, as much as I would never have said it if I were him, he did. Why? Well, I suspect one reason that he said it is because he wants his disciples to know the heart of their God. And his heart for them is that they shouldn't be afraid to ask him for things. He's a good father. He's, in fact, the very best kind of parent. He wants us to make our asks, and he wants to make things happen in response to them. God is working, and he is answering prayer because he wants to do that. Now, there's also an assumption here when Jesus says this. And this is the other side of it, and this is what gets missed when we rip this verse out of context. The assumption is that there's other stuff happening here with us who are asking. There's an assumption here that we are making a certain kind of ask when we're asking. And that kind of gets wrapped up in what Jesus says here about the fruit bearing. So in verse 5, Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And just prior to that promise of God answering, Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask whatever you wish. If we remain connected to him, then he will answer our prayers and we will bear fruit. Now, what does that mean? What is fruit bearing? What fruit are we going to bear? And you can, this week I just did a, went on Bible Gateway and typed in fruit and then went in, you know, went through and just saw like what kinds of fruit do the scriptures talk about? And, you know, that I won't go into all of the, you know, little intricacies of where that took me. But for this context, in this verse, the most obvious answer, I think, is looking like Jesus. The kind of fruit that we bear is we look more like Jesus. Because Jesus says, you remain in me and I am in you. My words remain in you. You will show yourselves to be my disciples. That's bearing fruit. It's saying and doing and thinking and feeling the kinds of things that Jesus would say and do and think and feel. It's perpetuating his whole way of life in our lives. And it's certainly praying for the kinds of things that Jesus did pray for and would pray for. The kinds of things that God would delight to give when we ask. And you know, here's another interesting thing about praying. Sometimes the fruit that we bear is actually that we become the answer to someone else's prayer. Sometimes we might even become the answer to our own prayer in how we live and what we say and do. Often, when we're talking about prayer, we see what we do and what God does as very distinct things. You know, there's what God does and there's what we do. And certainly there are things that only God can do. But I wonder sometimes if we separate those categories too much. You know, yes, God wants to answer our prayer, and yes, he wants us to bear fruit. And some of the fruit that we might bear as we live like Jesus is to be the answers to each other's prayers. And I've experienced all of those things. Just speaking for me personally, I can look in my life and I can see certain specific things that I would say, you know, yes, I feel like God definitely did that, because there's no other explanation. God must have done that. Only he could. And then there's other times where, you know, I was praying about something and someone else did something. They became the answer to my prayer. And I thanked them for that. And at the same time, I offered a word of thanks to God. Because I think that was his way of answering the prayer, allowing someone else to be part of the answer. And I certainly hope that on occasion, I've been the answer to someone else's prayers. Now, that is not to say that every prayer is answered exactly the way that we might want it to be answered, and we'll talk about that in weeks to come. But for now, what I would just say to you is, again, if you think about a relationship, sometimes you ask someone to do something for you, and the answer that they give you is no. And they might have 101 different good reasons for saying no when you ask. And I believe sometimes God has many reasons to say no, many good reasons. But our prayers, when you look at the whole spectrum, our prayers do make things happen. Our prayers cause God to do things that only he can do, and our prayers might lead him to nudge someone else to become the answer, and it might even lead you to do something that helps to answer your own prayer. And little by little, God's kingdom comes and his will is done in the world. Why pray? Pray because you can't help it. Because we just do. Pray because Jesus, our Lord and role model, he prayed. Pray because you love God and you want to love him even more. Pray because he answers and he acts when we pray. My hope as you go into this week is that you would be inspired to pray. So my big to-do for you this week, you know, my 5-point to-do list for you is pray. 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 Pray, pray. Let's pray. I hope that you want to pray, that you believe in the value of praying, and that we will pray. And so I want to lead you to pray a couple things as we close now. And you can just silently, here or at home, pray for these things. And then I'll close. So I'd invite you to pray now that you would desire to know God even better than you do, to grow in a relationship with him. Go ahead and pray that now. I encourage you to pick an area of your life where you would like to show yourself to be even more of a disciple of Jesus than you are now. I don't know what that area is. Maybe it's in your relationships with a spouse or kids or a coworker or a friend, classmate. Maybe it's in your job. Pick an area of your life where you want to show yourself to be even more of a disciple of Jesus than you are now, and pray that that would be so. And lastly, pick a problem in the world and pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done in that problem. And maybe even pray that you would be part of the solution. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. And we don't pray often enough, and we may not pray well enough. And we may wonder sometimes when we pray if it's doing anything at all. But we pray. We pray that we would know you better and know you more. We pray that through your work in us, we would show ourselves to be your disciples in every area of our lives. And we pray for our world. Oh God, there are so many needs and situations in our world that we could pray for. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we, Lord, even as we look for you to do the things that only you can do, may we also be answers to the prayers that we pray. We pray in your name and for your sake, because you prayed, because you encouraged us to pray, and because you work as we pray. Lord Jesus, amen.